Okay, tonight's shiur is going to be dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmas Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zecher Tzadik Livracha, whose Petira was this week. And I've been listening to, we were just talking, I was listening to some of the Hespedim for Rav Aaron, and I can't give a Hesped for Rav Aaron because I didn't know him. I didn't have any personal relationship with him. I know many of his Talmidim, some of his most outstanding Talmidim, and I know some of his Torah, a little bit of his Torah, not even that much of his Torah. And every time, I never even really had a conversation with him. Every time I met him, I was just terrified. So, I just never really spoke with him. I was just afraid. So I shook his hand a few times, and, when I saw him around YU, and no one realized who he was, because he just carried himself in a way where no one would realize who he was, I was running around opening doors for him and things, but, I never really had a conversation with him, because I just never, I was afraid, and not afraid because he was mean. He was a very gentle soul. He's a very gentle person. I was just so intimidated by the enormity of his genius. He had a very unique style of presenting Torah, and I had an opportunity to listen to him say shir only on a couple of occasions. When I was in yeshiva, we were learning Maseches Nida Kol Seder, and the guys in the Kol were supposed to be learning Baba Kama in the morning. So I thought that was not right, that we should learn Baba Kama in the morning and Nida in the afternoon, and I'm not going to know either one well. So I decided that I'm going to not learn Baba Kama, I'm going to learn Maseches Nida in the morning and Hilchos Nida in the afternoon, and it'll all be one big picture. I remember I asked Rav Shechter for advice on that, and he said, yeah, Baba Kama in the morning, Nida in the afternoon, and then something else at night, unless you're a little shvach, then you can chazer at night. He has no idea the way normal brain works. So I ended up learning Nida all day. So I spent the whole year really focused on Maseches Nida and Hilchos Nida, and I felt like I was really holding in it pretty well. And then I remember toward the end of the year, Rav Aaron came in, and they invited him to say Shir to the Kolel. Rav Shachter invited him to say Shir to the Kolel. So Rav Aaron got up and he said, I'm not really so prepared to say Shir in Nida. I haven't learned it in a while. So I'll just share a few thoughts. And those were the last words of the shir that I understood. So after that, he lost me. So I'm far from an expert in his Torah or in his... I remember one other occasion, he came in around Hanukkah time, and he gave a shir in Hanukkah, and he was talking about the halacha, about if you have a house that has a door on two sides, that has windows on two sides, or doors really on two sides, that you light them both because of Maris Ha'ayin. And I remember the structure of the shir, but I remember not being able to follow it through, because he started with, okay, this din of lighting by the other door, is it a din in A or a din in B? And if it's a din in B, does that mean C or D? And if it was C, does that mean E? And by the end, he had drawn a tree mentally with 16 possibilities of what this one halacha was. And then he started closing them off. And then he started saying, well, it doesn't seem that it could be that unless you say that. And I wasn't able to follow all the way through. So, given that disclaimer that I am the last person that could actually present Rav Aaron's Torah in a meaningful and clear way, I still felt like I wanted to connect to Rav Aaron's Torah. So I wanted to learn a new piece of Rav Aaron's Torah that I had never learned before. So I wasn't going to do he has a very great essay in the Sefer Kavod HaRav, an Osik B'Talmud Torah Pater Min HaMitzvos. So chayiv in mitzvos. So why we don't say osik b'talmud Torah patur min mitzvos like we do by other mitzvos? But I didn't want to go over that one again because I wanted it to be something new. He has another very famous essay that I spent some time on in English about why we learn Gemara, about why learning Gemara is so important, which is the type of thing that most Rashi Yeshiva don't write essays on. They wouldn't, or the answer would be something quick or trite or whatever. And Rav Aaron, everything was cheshbind. Everything was deeply cheshbind. So it became a classic. It was an incredible, incredible essay. Although in one of the Hespedim, someone said that a guy was in one of the what they called the press conferences, the question and answer sessions they had with him. A guy was preparing. It was intimidating. So you want to make sure, because he took every word you said seriously. So if you asked a question, he'll be medayik in every word in your question. So you have to be very careful how you formulate a question. So the guy was formulating some fancy question about learning Tanakh in his mind, and he was thinking about, he's going to ask about Iyun in Tanakh versus and how to learn it historically, and he had some very carefully worded question, and he got up and he froze and he just said, "What do we learn?" And that was it. And Rav Aaron said, "What do we learn? why do we breathe? What do you mean? It's our everything. It's our life. Like he couldn't imagine that. So sometimes I guess he did answer just very straightforwardly when the question was, why do we learn? But, you know, in general, everything was deeply cheshbon. So I decided I was going to find a new piece. So I got this wonderful sefer this past summer from Howie Balter. He gave me a copy of the sefer Minchas Aviv. Howie paid for the publication, I think, because his name is all over it. So, not his name, but the name of his, whoever he dedicated it to, Balter. And he gave me a copy of the sefer. It's a collection of Rav Aaron's essays in Hebrew. So I was trying to look for a topic that was a parav enough topic. It's not nogea to a specific time of year, and that maybe people can relate to. So I found mitzvahs yomim tovim, the Indian of simchas yom tov, and we're in between two yom tovim, in between Pesach and Shavuos. So I thought it'd be really good, and I sent out an email that's my topic. And as I was going through, I'm like, you know, I think I'm actually getting this. I think I'm actually understanding this. This is like almost, it's almost familiar to me. It's almost like it's not really new. And then after I sent out the topic, Gavri Butler emailed me his Mar Makomos from when he gave this exact shir as a chabura 3 months ago that I was at. So apparently the entire shir was something I had heard before, and that's why it sounded familiar to me. And I had heard it from someone who was an actual Talmud of Rav Aaron, so who knew how to present it. So hopefully that enables me to understand it a little better, and hopefully I'll say something somewhat coherent through the course of this evening because of that. So I thank Avri very much. Not to mention, I had him email me the Makaros in a Word format, so I was able to just cut and paste them into the document instead of having to find them all myself. So Rav Aaron starts the piece with a well-known Gemara in Pesachim. It's a Gemara that relates to Dalet Kosos, and the Gemara talks about what if one drinks Dalet Kosos in an unconventional way. This is a Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kufches, Amid Beis, in source number 2. Amar Avi Domer Shmuel, Arba Kosalo, Tzorich Sheyeben, Kedem Zigas Kos Yafa, Shesotin Chai. What if you don't dilute the Kosos, you just drink the Dalet Kosos undiluted? Yatza, person is Yotzi the Mitzvah. Shesan Bivas Achas, you drink it all at once, Yatza. Hishkamel on the bottom of the main beso, Yatza. Now the Gemara explains. Shesan Chai Yatza, if you drink it undiluted, Yotzi, what does that mean? Amarava Yede Yayin Yatza, Yede Cherus Lo Yatza. You Yotzi the Mitzvah of Yayin, but you're not Yotzi the Mitzvah of Cherus. And Rashi and Rashbam both explain that means you Yotzi the Mitzvah of Arba Kosos. That you fulfill the Mitzvah of Arba Kosos, it's just it didn't feel free. You didn't feel like a free man, like a Ben Chorin, because it was nasty, it was disgusting, it was undiluted, and their wine all needed to be diluted. What about Shesan Bivas Achas? So the Gemara explains, Shesan Bivas Achas, Rav Amar, Yidei Yayin Yatza, Yidei Arba Kosos Lo Yatza. Now, when we're saying Yidei Yayin Yatza, it can't mean Dalet Kosos, because he then says in the very next line, you're not Yotzei Dalet Kosos. So what does he mean, your Yotzei Yidei Yayin? So the Rashbam on the spot says, if a person drinks all four cups at once, let's say, for example, it's machlokas, what it means that he drinks it all at once, but let's say it means he pours all four into one big kos, even, or some say no, it means he lines up four koses, because that's just one big kos. If he lines up four koses and just downs one, two, three, four, one right after the other. What has he been Yotzei, what has he not been Yotzei? Well, he's been Yotzei Yayin, says Rashbam, that means Simchas Yom Tov. The mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. What has he not been Yotzei? Well, he hasn't been Yotzei Dalet Kosos because he didn't have Dalet Kosos. He had it all at once. He had one kos. So he didn't have Dalet Kosos. He's not Yotzei Dalet Kosos. But Simchas Yom Tov, he is Yotzei. So Rav Aaron starts by saying, by asking a very fundamental question. There is a Gemara in the Seches Sukkah on Daf Mem Ches, where the Gemara, and this one I don't think made it into the... it did. Source number 1. The Gemara in Seches Sukkah, Daf Mem Ches. Where Masech Sukkah tells us that the Mishnah says Halva Simcha Shmona, that it tells us how many days of Sukkot each of the mitzvos of the Yom Tov apply for. So Hal and Simcha applies for all 8 days. Melamit Shechayv Adam Bahal Ubesimcha Ubekavod Yom Tov Achron Shalchag Kishar Kol Yomasechag. That a person is Chayv in Simcha on the 8th day of Shmini Atzeres like he is the rest of the days. Says Mar Aminani Mili, the Tana Rabban, we have a brisa, Vayisa Ach Sameach, Le Rabbel Sele Yom Tov Achron. The extra word Ach comes to tell me that you have to have Simcha and Shmini Atzeres. So ask Mar Aminani Mili, Yom Tov Rishon. Maybe it's telling me about the first day. Kshomer Ach Chilek. No, the word ach tells me only one of the two extreme nights has a mitzvah of simcha. It's either the first night or the eighth night, so it's got to be the eighth night, not the first night. Says the Gemara, how do you know it's the eighth night? Marisa, the Rabbis of the Yom Tov Achron, the Hotzi of the Yom Tov Rishon. Why don't you say it's got to be the first night, not the eighth night? I understand that the word ach is telling me it's one, not the other, but how do you know it's day eight and not day one? Says the Gemara, Marba ani leile Yom Tov Achron sheyesh simcha lefanav, umotzi ani leile Yom Tov Rishon sheyesh simcha lefanav. The last night of Sukkot or the night of Shemini Atzeres, has a mitzvah simcha because it's preceded by days of simcha. The first night of Sukkot has no mitzvah of simcha because it's not preceded by days of simcha. That's what the Gemara says. And therefore, there's no mitzvah simcha on the first night of Sukkot. So ask Rav Aaron, wait a second. If there's no mitzvah simcha on the first night of Yantif, then how come when the Gemara Pesachim talks about Shasan Bevasachas, where you drink all the alakos at once, that you yotzei the mitzvah of simcha? When do you have the Seder? On the first night of Yantif. But there's no mitzvah of simcha on the first night of Yantif. So how could it be that you're being yotzei the mitzvah of simcha? There is no mitzvah of simcha. So the simple answer is, well, no, the Gemara in Sukkah is in Sukkah, and Vayisach Samech is about Sukkot, and the Gemara in Pesachim is about Pesach. That's about the Seder. So maybe on Pesach there's a mitzvah on the first night, but on Sukkot there's no mitzvah on the first night. Says Rav Aaron, that's not correct. Because when the Gemara in Sukkah talks about the mitzvah of Simcha, why it's on the eighth night and not the first night, the Svara works for Pesach also. Sheyesh Simcha Lefanav is a din in Sukkot as much as it is a din in Pesach. So there should be no, there's an Ein Simcha Lefanav on the first night of Sukkot, and Mela there should be, on the first night of Pesach rather, and Mela there should be no mitzvah of Simcha on Pesach either. So that's not his kasha, that's the Shagas Aryeh's kasha. The Shagas Aryeh in Simon Samaches asks this kasha. Pesach does have something before it, meaning Sukkot, on Erev Sukkot, it has absolutely no halachas of the Yom Tov yet. Pesach is a little more complicated, because you bring Karm Pesach already on Erev Pesach, and the Isra of Chametz already starts in Erev Pesach halfway through the day, Mido Raisa, also from the word Ach, and different word Ach, and Barli Rabbi Matzeh may even begin before Pesach. So there are elements of Pesach that have already begun before Pesach, but there's no Simcha. Ain't Simcha lefanav. That's still true. There's no Simcha beforehand. So Shagzari's kasha stands. Shagzari asks this kasha, how can we say that you yotze the mitzvah of Simcha when you drink dalakosos all at once on the night of the Seder? There is no mitzvah of Simcha on the night of the Seder. That's kasha number one. Now, it is interesting to note, Rav Lichtenstein points out that the Yerushalmi in Perek Dalet of Sukkah Halacha Hey writes, Vayisa ach semech l'rabos le yom tov harishon m'simcha. Yerushalmi says that the first night is really the night of Simcha, not the last night. But we pass on that to Bavli. Yeah.
What's the svara that, oh, it's preceded by? I mean, you could say, oh, it's followed by, and therefore.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I guess the idea is that Simcha is something that you build up to. That to feel it in its highest form, it's got to be built up to. The second question he says, Shagasari also asks, it's also Shagasari's question. The Rif in Brachos, Tafiram Ralph Dape Rif, tells us that Yom Tov stops in Avelus already on the first night of Yantiv. The halacha is that if a person is an Avel, Yantiv comes, Yantiv breaks the Avelus. Not the Avelus of Yud Beis Chodesh, obviously, because that's understood that it has Yantiv in it, but it breaks the Shiva and it breaks the Shlosha. So if Yantiv breaks an Avelus, why is it that Yantiv breaks an Avelus? So the reason the Gemara Moed Katan, Daf Yud Aleph Beis, tells us Yantiv breaks an Avelus, because in Yantiv there's a mitzvah of Simcha, so the mitzvah of Simcha comes and overpowers the Avelus. But the Rif says, when does Yom Tov break the Avelus? Already on the first night. You're not even knowing Dvarim Shel Tzinn anymore. Already on the first night of Yom Tov breaks the Avelus. So Frekta Shagas Aryeh is same kasha. If there's no mitzvah of Simcha on the first night of Yom Tov, how come it breaks the Avelus? It shouldn't break the Avelus if there's no mitzvah of Simcha. It's the Simcha element of Yom Tov that's supposed to break Avelus, and there is no mitzvah of Simcha on the first night. So that's the Shagas Aryeh's second kasha. Now, Shagas Aryeh answers that there's got to be a mitzvah of Simcha on the first night of Yantiv, and what you have to say is that there's a mitzvah of Simcha midrabbanan on the first night of Yantiv. No mitzvah of Simcha midaraisa, but at least Simcha midrabbanan, and that's why the Gemara in Beitza and Daf Tes and Daf Yud, which allows a lot of things to be done for the sake of Simcha's Yantiv, never in the whole discussion distinguishes between the nighttime of Yantiv and the daytime of Yantiv. Just understands that there's always a mitzvah of Simcha. Why is there always a mitzvah? Because at least it's Rabban on the first night. So Rav Lichtenstein just points out very sharply, yeah, that works for the first problem about dalakosos. Dalakosos is, the Gemara is asking what you fulfill when you drink dalakosos. So the Gemara says you fulfill Simchas Yom Tov. As long as there's any sort of mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, it makes sense that you're fulfilling that mitzvah by drinking the dalakosos all at once. So you're fulfilling the mitzvah midrabanan of Simchas Yom Tov. But how does that answer the second kasha? Second kasha about how Yom Tov breaks Avelus. Yom Tov breaks Avelus, even Avelus Yom Rishon. According to Menachem Mishonim, Avelus Yom Rishon, even Belaila, even that first night, is Doraisa. So how could a Simchas Yom Tov midrabanan break an Avelus Doraisa? It doesn't seem to really work that Simchas Yom Tov midrabanan, if Simchas Yom Tov were really midrabanan, that it should break an Avelus Doraisa. So that's his problem with the Shagas Aryeh's approach. So he says, maybe to answer this issue of what's going on with Simcha on the first night. On the one hand, there's no mitzvah of Simcha, but on the other hand, there's apparently enough of a mitzvah of Simcha that you fulfill some mitzvah of Simcha with dalakosos ba'as achas, and there's apparently enough of a mitzvah of Simcha that it will break avelus. So he says, in order to understand that, let's take a step back and try to understand the concept of Simcha in Rosh Hashanah. There's a major discussion whether there is a mitzvah of Simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Shagas Aryeh also in Simkov Beis has a long discussion about whether there's a mitzvah of Simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Are you allowed to fast in Rosh Hashanah? Yom Kippur, obviously, you're allowed to fast. You're required to fast. And the Shagas Aryeh comes to Maskana that there is a mitzvah of Simcha because if there weren't a mitzvah of Simcha, then we wouldn't allow cooking in Rosh Hashanah. It's, we only allow Heter Ochel Nefesh when it's connected to Simcha on some level. Good, good. So that machlokas is probably about what? What?
Well, we don't do that on Rosh
Hashanah. Right. So that could be that machlokas though could be the machlokas about whether there's a mitzvah of Simcha. So it could be that right. So that could very well be. And then he alludes to that. If you say right, and that's what he points out. This is the very next line is that if you say modem simcha chagum zanim l'sason even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, then you're saying that there's a mitzvah of Simcha. And if you don't say it, then maybe you're saying that there is no mitzvah of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But then Rav Aaron points out that it could be that even those who don't say it would still hold that there is a mitzvah of Simcha, but maybe just the mitzvah of Simcha is a different nature to the mitzvah. Meaning, the mitzvah of Simcha, when we say Mo'adim L'Simcha, Chagim L'Zmanim L'Sason, we're saying that's the point of the Mo'ad. That the Mo'ad is L'Simcha, it's L'Sason. So maybe we could say that about the Regalim. But maybe although there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's a characteristic of the day, but it's not the definition of the day. And when we formulate the bracha, we want to formulate in terms of a definition. So we're going to formulate the bracha, Mo'adim L'Simcha Chagim L'Zman L'Sason. So it could be that you would hold there's a mitzvah of Simcha and still not include that formulation. Also, he says, what it really seems to boil down to is there's a machlokas tanoim whether Yom Tov is mevatel, whether Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are mevatel avelus, or only the regalim are mevatel avelus. And we paskin that it is mevatel avelus like Rabbi Gamliel. So therefore, it seems that we paskin that there is a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But the problem is that if there is a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, how do we do that mitzvah of Simcha? On all the other regalim, we know how we do. There's shalmei Simcha. There's a special carbon that you bring, and ein simcha l'bebasser means you have to bring the shalmei simcha in order to be yotzei in the mitzvah of simcha. Achshav shein beis hamikdash kayim, ein simcha l'biyayin, ein simcha l'bebasser biyayin. We still eat meat, drink wine. We do other things that are simcha related. On Rosh Hashanah, there's no shalmei simcha. And on Yom Kippur, there's no basser biyayin. So if you want to argue that there's a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where is it? What are we doing that gives us any sense of simcha on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? I mean, what do we do that reflects? What's the ma'isa mitzvah that reflects that there's a mitzvah of simcha? So at that point, Rav Lichtenstein says, well, my father-in-law had a famous mahalik, and it is a mahalik that Rav Soloveitchik developed in Shirim L'Zecher Rav Amari, in one of the Yahrzeit Shirim he gave for his father. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, developed this notion called the Kiyum Shebelev, that there are certain mitzvahs where the kiyum is an emotional kiyum. It's a kiyum shebelev. It's a kiyum, the kiyum mitzvah. See, normally Rav Soloveitchik in general really developed a concept that others use sparingly, but he used in a very, very important ways of dividing the ma'isa mitzvah from the kiyum mitzvah. That most of the time you do a mitzvah, the ma'isa mitzvah is the kiyum mitzvah. I pick up a lulav, that's the ma'isa mitzvah, and that's also the kiyum mitzvah. I got the mitzvah of lulav. But every once in a while, you can have a ma'isa mitzvah that's divorced from the kiyum mitzvah. Rav Shaklis likes to give the example of Sfiras HaOmer. If you hold Sefiras Omer as one big mitzvah, Rav Shechter points out in Eretz HaTzvi, why are we making 49 brachas? Why are we making a separate bracha every... It's Machlok Shishon, whether it's one big mitzvah or 49 separate mitzvahs. If it's one big mitzvah, why are there 49 separate brachas? He says, it's because a bracha is on a Maisa mitzvah. And there are 49 separate Maase mitzvah. But it's one big kiyum at the end. So sometimes you can do the action of the mitzvah, but the kiyum is separate from the action. And that happens on rare occasion. Sometimes, our Salvation points out, the kiyum is an internal emotional kiyum. So you can do all of the Simchas Yom Tov things, like bring Shalmei Simcha, eat meat, drink wine, but if you don't feel happy, you don't have a kiyum mitzvah. The mitzvah, the Maisa mitzvah is to do those things, but the kiyum mitzvah is to actually create that emotion. Avelus also. There are lots of Maase mitzvah of Avelus, or Nihuge Avelus, we would call them. Things that an Avel has to do. But if he does all those things, but he doesn't feel a sense of Avelus, then there's no kiyum mitzvah. There's a kiyum shebelev when it comes to Avelus. So that's what Salvechik suggests. So he said, so maybe Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Chiddush of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is that you don't need the classic Maase mitzvah to get to the Kiyum Shebelev. Because the whole point is the Kiyum Shebelev. So you achieve that Kiyum Shebelev, however you achieve it. In whatever other way you want to achieve the Kiyum Shebelev, that's how you'll achieve the Kiyum Shebelev. Because it's not really about the Shalmei Simcha, it's not really about the Basar V'Yayin, it's about the Kiyum Shebelev. But, Rav Lichtenstein points out, that only works if you hold that there could be a mitzvah Simcha D'Oraisa even without the Shalmei Simcha. Which is the is the sheet of summary shown, but Tosos holds not that way. Tosos holds that the Samachta is only fulfilled with Shalmei Simcha. So then, how do we do it on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? There are no Shalmei Simcha. So we're back to square one. We're back to the question: what is the mitzvah of Simcha? Well, it's really square two. Square one was the question of what's going on with the first night of Yom Tov. Then the second question we're dealing with, which the answer to that question hopefully is going to help us deal with the first one, is: what's the story with Simcha and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? How could there be a mitzvah of Simcha if there's nothing that we do that reflects any sort of mitzvah of Simcha? So Rav Lichtenstein's Yesod that opens up the entire sugya and makes everything fall into place is a phenomenal insight. Rav Lichtenstein suggests that there are two dinim in Simcha's Yom Tov. He says there are those elements of Simcha's Yom Tov that reflect, that are done within what he calls the miskeret hayom, within the framework of the day. Meaning, there's a day of Yom Tov, and therefore you have to do the mitzvot that you're supposed to do on that day, like eating matzah, taking lulav, things that are a mitzvah that's required because the Yom Tov is there, and they have these mitzvot within the framework of that Yom Tov. That's the classic, you know, many of the mitzvot. That's part of simcha. Part of experiencing the simcha of Sukkot is maybe taking a lulav. But it's done because it's Sukkot. And that's one of the mitzvahs you do on Sukkot. On the other hand, there's another chiyuv, and that is not just a maisa that we do on the day, but it's a maisa that's done on Yom Tov as a way of impacting the day, as a way of defining the day, as a way of making it a more meaningful Yom Tov. It gives the character of Yom Tov to that day. And that's a second level of Simcha. And what Rav Lichtenstein suggests is that, like, that second level would be like what we would, the Isser Melacha, let's say, on Yom Tov. Or where Machal Mishta, Ksus Nikia, things like that. They're not particular mitzvos of the day, but these are things that lend a certain character and mood to the day. So instead of the day being Goring, the Chiyuv, it's the chiyuv simcha that's goring the day, that enhances the day itself. And with this nekuda, he suggests, we can answer everything. Simcha and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, it's the second type of simcha, not the first. See, most Rukalim, most Yom Tovim have both types of simcha. You have the simcha of the specifics, of the nitty-gritty, where you have to do A, B, and C, and it's clearly defined, and there's a Maisa Mitzvah, and there's a Shalmei Chagiga, and there's Basar, there's Yayin, there's exactly what you have to do. And there's also that overwhelming sense of simcha that impacts the whole mood of the day. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you don't have din number one of simcha, of having specifics with laid out for you, that you have to do this act, that act, but what you do have is you have an overwhelming sense of simcha that impacts the whole nature of the day. And that's what's going on in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The machlokas with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur stops Avelus might be, says Rav Lichtenstein, a machlokas about which mitzvah of simcha stops avelus. Is it the mitzvah of simcha of the particular masi mitzvah of simcha that stops the avelus? Or is it the overwhelming sense of simcha that impacts the day that stops, that breaks the avelus? He says maybe that could explain why it is that on the first night the Gemara assumes in Pesachim there is some sort of mitzvah of simcha to fulfill by drinking all dalet kosos at one time, even though the Gemara in Sukkah says there is no mitzvah of simcha on the first night. The Gemara in Sukkah is talking about the korbanos. It's talking about the shalmei simcha. It's talking about the specific things that you need to do for Yantiv. That doesn't exist on the first night. Achilek, Ach tells us that that doesn't exist. But the fact that it's a Yom Tov and that you need to leave your stamp on that day with a sense of simcha, that exists. Now that doesn't have to be defined by mitzvos. That could be defined by other things. So you could drink all dalet kosos bas achas, and you're not even yotzei the mitzvah of dalet kosos because you're drinking all bas achas, but you're still getting simcha. But you didn't do the mitzvah seyom. How could you be getting simcha? Where's the mitzvah of simcha if you're not doing the mitzvah seyom? No, you're still getting simcha because the simcha is not as clearly predefined. You don't have to meet certain criteria in order to fulfill that second level of simcha, that second definition of simcha. And that would explain why it is that the simcha stops the avelus, that the simcha of the first night stops the avelus. Simcha of the first night could stop the avelus because it's maybe the second type of simcha that stops avelus, and that exists on the first night of Yom Tov, unlike the other type of simcha which exists all throughout Yom Tov. So that's part one of his shir. The idea of this yisod that he develops, that there is multiple, that there are these two levels of simcha. There is the clearly defined simcha of doing shalmei simcha and fulfilling certain mitzvos. And then there's the broader type of simcha which leaves its stamp, leaves its impact on the day. Now, based on that, he says, let's be mamshich es hakav hala. Let's take this line a little bit further. And think about the following, he says. The mitzvah of shofar. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and Daf Tazayin Amar Aleph, tells us, lo matokin amrin k'shein yoshim, matokin amrin k'shein omdin. Why is it that we blow shofar, both tkios to miyushav and tkios to miumad? So the Gemara says, k'dei la'arbe v'asatan. It's a way of confusing the satan by blowing two sets of tekiyos. Now, normally, if you do a mitzvah and then you keep on doing it over and over again, or you do more than is required, normally that's an issur in the Torah. That's called baltosif. You know, I just keep doing more. And the Gemara is saying, okay, so why do we do more and more when it comes to shofar? It confuses the satan. Is that a heter for baltosif? That you want to confuse the satan? Why is that a good enough reason to violate baltosif? So he says, maybe we could say the following. Tkiya Shofar also has two dinim, and they relate to these two dinim of Simchas Yom Tov. He says, Tkiya Shofar may have one din, that first day of the seventh month, you have a mitzvah to blow the shofar. That's what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, Tanur Rabbanan, Minayin Shem Shofar, Tamal Omer Vavarta Shofar Trua, Ein Li El Biyovel, Rosh Hashanah Minayin, Tamal Omer Bechodesh HaShvii, Shein Tamal Omer Bechodesh HaShvii, Ma Tamal Omer Bechodesh HaShvii, Shu Kol Trua Shechodesh HaShvii, Zeh Kazeh. That we have a specific pasuk that teaches me that Chodesh HaShvi'i, day one, there's a mitzvah shofar. But then he says, and that's a mitzvah seyom. That's like the first type of simcha. It's the type of simcha that's a specific, defined action that must be done because you've hit a certain date on the Jewish calendar. But then there's a second type, of the second kiyum in shofar. And the second kiyum of shofar would parallel the second type of simcha, where it's not that you have this mitzvah because you've hit a date on the Jewish calendar, but rather, when you do this mitzvah, that date on the Jewish calendar is going to be deepened, it's going to be impacted, and it's going to be more meaningful because of this mitzvah that you do. So it's not the day that's causing the mitzvah, it's the mitzvah that affects the day. And what's that? Pasuk Yom Trua Yelachem. Notice the difference in Lashon. It's not saying, on Chodesh HaShvi, blow shofar. Yom Trua Yelachem. You should turn the day into a Yom Trua. How do you turn the day into a Yom Trua? You blow the shofar. Blow the shofar a lot. No limit, no baltosif, because although the first mitzvah has a limit, there's the amount that you're supposed to blow the shofar. You're supposed to blow shloshim kolos, or however many kolos it is that the Gemara figures out that you're supposed to blow. Midaraisa, midarabanan. That's that first mitzvah. But to make it a Yom Trua, you could blow as many as you want. and therefore it's not going to be a violation of Bel Tosif if you keep on blowing more and more. Rav Aaron points out, though, that Tosus already asked the kasha about Bel Tosif, and Tosus Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Ches gives a different answer. Tosus Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Ches says, isn't it Bel Tosif? And Tosus says, repeating the same action over again is not Bel Tosif. Meaning, if I put a fifth parsha in my tefillin, that's Bel Tosif. Putting on my tefillin twice is not Bel Tosif. Right? Repeating the same action over again, it's a bad example because tefillin you can wear all day long, but repeating the same action over again is not Bel Tosif. That's Tosus's Yisro. That's Tosus's answer. So it could be that the fact that Tosus doesn't answer that the reason you're allowed to do more and more is because Yom Trua makes it that you're allowed to do as much as you want, it could be that Tosus rejects this approach, that Tosus rejects this Yisod. Or it could be that they think that the din of Yom Trua is also subject to Bal Tosus, that the din of making it a Yom Trua is also subject to some Gedarim. But he said, you'll note though, the Gemara asked about the Tekiyos to Me'umah, Tekiyos to Me'yushav, and that's where the Rishonim ask, what about Bal Tosif? But there is another Gemara, where the Gemara tells us that after they blew shofar in Yavne, the Gemara says, all the people would go home, and you'd hear the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, Ki Asar V'Yisrael Bar Yosef Amar, Ki Mesayim Shlich Tzibur Tekiya B'Yavne, when the Shlich Tzibur finished blowing his Tekiyos in Yavne, Lo shama inish kol one mikol tekiyah diyichidai. No one was able to hear themselves think because the sounds of the tekiyos that everybody else was blowing was so loud. So what's the Gemara telling us? After they finished hearing shofar, everyone went home and blew shofar again, and you heard shofar all over the place, and not a single rishon stands up and says Bal Tosif. How could you do that? When it comes to tekiyos to miyushav, tekiyos to meumad, all the rishon were saying, come on, just la'arv v'asatan, Bal Tosif. But when it comes to the fact that everyone heard the shofar in Yavne, went home, and blew again, not a single person asks Bal Tosif. So says Rav Aaron, because you get the Vart, when it comes to Tekiyos to Me'umah, Tekiyos to Me'yushav, that's a clear attempt to fulfill the first key of Tekiyos Shofar. It's a clear attempt to fulfill specific sounds that you make in Shul, Allah, Seder, with brachos and everything. That's that first key of Tekiyos Shofar, so that we can ask Bal Tosif on. But the fact that everyone went on their own and was just running around tooting the shofar, that's the second kiyum. The fact that it's a Yom Trua, that there's no Bal Tosif on. And therefore not a single rishon asks, isn't this Bal Tosif? It's not Bal Tosif, because there is no Bal Tosif on the notion, on the concept of Yom Trua. And he says, maybe, this can help us understand how shofar would fit into the famous discussion of the Mishnah Lemelech. Mishnah Lemelech has a discussion, what if you have two Jews that are stuck with only one kezayis of matzah. What's the best eitzah? So flip a coin, I don't know, find a non-muktzah coin or something to flip. Figure out, someone's going to have a kezayis and the other person will get nothing, right? Mishnah Melech says, well, maybe not. Maybe if they split the kezayis and each guy has a half a kezayis, just like we have a concept, that chatzi shir asur min haTorah, that if you eat a chatzi shir of nisr, a chatzi kezayis of nevela or trefa, you violate Nisra Darai, so you just don't get an Onesh. Maybe there's such a thing as a Chatzi Shir in mitzvahs also. Maybe even on the positive side, there could be such a thing as a Chatzi Shir. That's what the Mishnah Melech suggests. It's a major discussion. Rav Asher Weiss has a beautiful essay on this topic in his Minchas Hashra Agada, in the back of his Minchas Hashra Agada, whether there's a Kiyum mitzvah and a Chatzi Shir. So, what do we say about Shofar? Let's assume for a moment that there is such a Kiyum mitzvah of a Chatzi Shir and matzah. Is there any sort of kiyum in chatzi shir of shofar? So he says, well, certainly, if your makatzah, the actual kol, if the kol is supposed to be 2 seconds long and you made it 1 second long, that's not a chatzi shir, it's just not a kol shofar. It's not the proper sound. And he says, maybe even by yitrua, it's just not the chefza shel mitzvah at all. But what about if you just do fewer than the number of kolos that are required? So, l'chora, that would be the same as matzah. And if you hold a chatzi shir works by matzah, then it will work by shofar. And if you hold chatzi shir doesn't work by matzah, then it won't work by shofar. But he says, maybe it's not exactly the same as matzah if this yisod about two kiyumim in shofar are correct. Because maybe he says, the first din of tekiyas shofar, that you have a specific amount you have to do in order to fulfill the mitzvah that happens on the seventh month, first day of the seventh month, maybe that's just like matzah. And if you hold that a chatzi shir of matzah is good enough, then a chatzi shir of that is good enough as well. But maybe when it comes to Yom Teruah, everyone would agree, even if you hold that there's no kiyum of chatzi shir of matzah, when it comes to Yom Teruah, everyone would agree that a chatzi shir contributes to making it a Yom Teruah. Because there are no clearly defined boundaries of Yom Teruah. There are only clearly defined boundaries of the mitzvah's tkiyah on Chodesh HaShvi, but there's no clearly defined boundaries of Yom Teruah. So he says, maybe if that vart is correct, then maybe even you could even have a kiyum in a chatzi shir, even if you hold most mitzvahs don't have a kiyum in a chatzi shir. And he says, now let's connect it to one last mitzvah, the mitzvah of matzah. He says, it seems to be that there are two dinim in matzah also. Because on the one hand, the Pasuk tells us, the Gemara Darshins and Kuf Chaf Amid Aleph from the Pasuk, Shesh Yom Tochel Matzah Suf Yom HaShvi Atzeres HaShem El Kecha. It says, eat matzah 6 days, seventh day is Atzeres. So says the Gemara, somehow we're comparing the seventh day to the other six. In what way are we comparing the seventh day to the other six? Mashvi Rishus Af Shesh Yom Rishus. Just like the seventh day is a Rishus, the other 6 days are also Rishus, which means, on the first night of the Seder, you have mitzvah to eat matzah. After that, you have no mitzvah to eat matzah. It's only Rishus. If you want to eat something that you have to wash on, you got to eat matzah. You can't eat chametz. If you need to eat chametz, there's no mitzvah to eat matzah. Yet we're all familiar with the Shitas Hagra that everyone quotes, that the Gra holds that it's a kiyum d'oraisa to eat matzah kol shiva, to eat matzah throughout all 7 days of Pesach. Well, which is it? Is it that there's only a mitzvah on the first night, or is it a mitzvah throughout all 7 days of Pesach? And it's only called the Rishus, the Gra holds, legabe the first night, because the first night is a superior chiyuv, and the rest of the day is also a mitzvah, it's a kiyum mitzvah. So legabe echova, we compare to Rishus. It's similar to like what the Bali Atos write in Brachos, that tefilas arvis Rishus. So Bali Atos say, really, I could choose to daven marv, not daven marv? No, of course not. Arvis is echova. It's just, in comparison to the other tefilos, it's Rishus. Sometimes we speak in absolute terms, and sometimes we speak in relative terms. So the Gemara says, when the Gemara says that matzah throughout the other days is a Rishus, it's relative to the first night. And that's L'chora Muchach, from the Kasha that the Balamor asks, in Pesachim, and other Rishonim ask. The Rishonim ask, why is it that we make a bracha on Sukkah called Shiva? Throughout all 7 days you make a bracha, Leishiv Sukkah. But on matzah, we only make a bracha the first night, not the rest of the Yantiv. Well, why isn't the answer very simple? Because there's only a mitzvah of matzah for one night. There's a mitzvah of Sukkah for all 7 days. The fact that that's not the simple answer leads you to believe that the Gra is correct, that there is a mitzvah of matzah for all 7 days. But how do we understand that mitzvah? And what makes it different than the mitzvah on the first night? Why is it different than the mitzvah on the first night? So he says, it seems that we're not just dealing with different levels of the same mitzvah. That there's one mitzvah called matzah and it's just chiyuv, a little less of a chiyuv. That's very ill-defined. There's got to be something more over here. So he says it could be that there are two kiyumim in matzah. On the night of the 15th, night of the Seder, there's a chiyuv on the maisa achila. Ba'erev tochlu matzos. You must eat a kezayis. It's defined because this date on the calendar has arrived. You need to honor this date by doing that, by doing this mitzvah within the miskeret of this day. Whereas throughout all the other 7 days, it's not the day that's goreim, the achila, it's the matzah that's goreim, the character of the day. It's the matzah that affects the nature and the character of the day. Es chag ha-matzos tishmor, shivas yamim tochal matzos, kasher tzivisicha. Es chag ha-matzos tishmor, it's called chag ha-matzos for shivas yamim. You make it a chag ha-matzos by eating matzos for 7 days. Or you don't make, it's going to be a chag ha-matzos anyway. You enhance its status as a chag ha-matzos by eating matzos for the 7 days. And he says, now we understand why it is that we don't make a bracha on matzah called shiva. Because even if you want to say that it's just a rishus, still you should make a bracha. If there's any kiyum mitzvah, you should make a bracha. Women are pater from sukkah. What do Ashkenazi women do when they go sit in sukkah? Leishiv sukkah. Women are pater from lulav. What do Ashkenazi women do when they take lulav? Almtil sulav. So even if it's just that, if it's just a kiyum mitzvah, we should still make a bracha all 7 days. So he says, no, you see from there, it's not about chiyuv versus kiyum. It's about an entirely different character of the mitzvah. when you're dealing with a mitzvah that has clear gedarin, where there's a maisa mesuyim, there's a specific maisa that's required of eating dafka kazayis, you make a bracha on such a mitzvah. But when you're dealing with an overall idea of matzah makes it chag hamatzos, you don't make a bracha on such a mitzvah because it's more elastic. It's not as clearly defined. He says that's why, he says you can explain an unbelievable medrash in Torah's Karnim, a mind-boggling medrash. The medrash says, B'chamish as yom l'chodesh zeh chag ha-matzos. Yom zeh tol matzos ve'in chag ha-sukkos tol matzah. The medrash says, I have a chiddush. You don't need to eat matzah on sukkos. Wow. The medrash says, I would have thought kal v'chomer. If you don't need a sukkah, when you don't need a sukkah, you need to eat matzah. When you do need a sukkah, kal v'chomer, you should have to eat matzah. Oh, mud in the medrash, no? You're going to think you should have to eat matzah? And it goes the other way also. I might think you should have to sit in sukkah on Pesach, because if when you don't need matzah, you need to sit in sukkah, then for sure when you do need matzah, you need to sit in sukkah. What kind of medrash? Why would I ever have a mean to sit in sukkah on Pesach to eat matzah on sukkahs? What does one have to do with the other? So he says it could be that the havamina is that it's all about that second din. The Havamina is not about the Maisei Mitzvah. Of course we understand that each Yom Tov, because you've reached that calendar day, has its mitzvahs. And you got to do the mitzvahs of that day. But what about when you can lend character to the day? What about when you can impact the character of the day? And it's not the calendar that's causing the mitzvah, but the mitzvah can impact the calendar. Well, then maybe there's a Havamina. That matzah and all it represents in terms of Yetzias Mitzrayim should have an impact on Sukkot, which also celebrates Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Sukkot and all it represents in terms of Yetzias Mitzrayim should have an impact on Pesach. Obviously, the Maskan, the Medrash says not that way, but there's a Hava Amina at least. And he says, Rav Aaron says so beautifully, he says, the Medrash never said, Yachal, I might think that you should have to take Lulav on Pesach. Never said that. He never said, Yachal, I might think that you should eat Marar on Sukkot. No. It dafka sukkah and matzah. Why dafka sukkah and matzah? He says because those are the mitzvos that actually have this dual character. Whereas maror doesn't have that dual character. Maror is just a maisa mitzvah that you do when that calendar day arrives. And that's why, what do we call it? Chag hasukos, chag ha matzos. It's not chag adalid minin, and it's not chag hamoror. Because the chag is actually impacted by the way that we're able, by these mitzvos that we're able to do. That's what Rav Aaron suggests. I just want to close by pointing out that he developed one idea, one yisod, which really opens up a new way of thinking. And when now you see a mitzvah relating to a day, it's a new way of thinking. Is you always have to start asking yourself, is the day goring the mitzvah, or is the mitzvah goring the day? Rabbi Septimus was talking last night a little bit about it. He said, how Rav Aaron used to say, what he wanted to give his Talmidim was the world's biggest keychain. As big a keychain as he could possibly give them. What's the reference to a keychain? What was he talking about? Because a key opens a room. Once you're in that room, you can have everything that's in that room. He's not giving you the room. He's not going to give you everything that's in that room. But he's going to give you the key. Which means he's going to give you enough sugyas and enough ways to conceptualize things, enough ways to think about things, that when you hit something somewhere in Shas, you will think along those lines. When you hear the words, Shomei Ka'oneh, you'll be asking yourself, is it Ka'oneh Mamish, and is Mamish the same? Is it an equation? Or is it a comparison? And once you think in those terms, every time you see the word Ka, the letter Chav, you're going to start thinking that way. And that's what he tried to do for his Talmidim. And hopefully we got a little bit of a sense tonight through the shir, and our learning should be a zuchus for Aliyah for his neshama.